right. Just a reminder, we've got a bunch of time certains. We did not take the vote yesterday on 690, so we're going to do that at 2:30, and I believe we'll have Commissioner Saltzman on deck for that. So let's go ahead and get started. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the June 21st, 2018 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. I think we can skip the messaging, Robert, and if we need it later, we'll do that. Save some time here. First item.
Behave yourselves.
That's right.
Yes, be nice. Item 692.
Do you take a roll call?
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Sure. Fish, Saltzman, Udaly.
Here.
Fritz.
I'm here. I think for the record, we should state that there are no members of the public here, which is why we can skip the announcement.
Wheeler.
I'm also here, but I'm keeping an eye on Mustafa, just in case. 692, please.
Update on affordable commercial space bonus administrative rules.
So, colleagues, I'm pleased that Prosper Portland has moved forward with this program. Affordable commercial space, especially for new businesses, is obviously getting more difficult to find and harder to afford as our city grows. These administrative rules will ensure that developers taking advantage of the affordable commercial space bonus are required to agree to provide a high level of tenant improvements and lease the spaces to qualified businesses for a period of 10 years or pay into a fund to support affordable commercial space. What I like most about this program is that it will ensure that spaces are prioritized for local businesses or nonprofits. Women-owned businesses and businesses owned by people of color and businesses and nonprofits that serve historically underserved communities. I want to thank Prosper Portland for taking these steps to keep Portland moving towards a more equitable economy and towards ensuring that there are more equal distribution of opportunities towards economic success. And so with that, I will turn this over to the Prosper Portland team. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners. My name is Kira Straussman. I'm the Director of Development and Investment for Prosper Portland. And my colleague, Allison Wicks, who is a project coordinator for our affordable commercial program, joins me today. We've been before you to talk about both the affordable commercial bonus program that we have hashed out with the Planning Commission. So we will talk materially about how these complementary administrative rules that we have developed support the MUZ FAR bonus that have been proposed in the 2035 Central City Update and walk you through today what those are. But I think the larger message, and Mayor Wheeler
hit. About 6 inches away.
Sorry. Are we good?
That's better.
Yeah,
sorry
they're
about
very
that.
Sensitive mics. In fact, sorry, Carlo, could we possibly get some little like tent cards just for the front, just to let people sort of know that the microphone, I know at the state legislature they have little signs that say sensitive microphone 6 inches.
Just little labels we could stick on them.
Yeah, it might just be helpful.
Some of those plastic straws we're not going to be using anymore.
Exactly. We'll make an artwork out of plastic straws. It does that.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. See, we've only been in session for 2 minutes. We've already resolved a major issue.
Problem. I love it. The problem that I think we're all venturing to solve for our small businesses are the ever-increasing pressures of gentrification, not just when it comes to affordability for residential, for people that are looking for homes, but the pressures that are coming to our community-based business districts and really trying to solve for the ongoing pressure on pricing that really can often be very discouraging, particularly to businesses that haven't had access to space generally in the past. When you walk into commercial leasing, the environment, legal environment is, and construction environment is highly complicated. And I think we're also trying to support businesses not only by endeavoring to hold their costs low in our commercial affordable program, but also to improve the level of technical service that we can offer folks that are venturing into retail for the first time at the street level and really need the support So what we're going to present today is the administrative rules for the MUZ bonus on FAR that supports our affordable commercial, but in a comprehensive acknowledgement that Prosper Portland, along with the mayor's office and all of you, have been working on a suite of responsible adaptations to work that we're already doing inside of Prosper Portland to support small businesses and businesses of color and women-owned businesses. So we're eager to hear your input on both the bonus program that we're going to present and how we're going to administrate that, but also on any of your thoughts on how we can be better at Prosper Portland, better partners with you and the city in general to support our small businesses' claims in neighborhood business districts, which is really ultimately our aim here. So my colleague, Allison Wicks, is going to walk you through kind of how we got here today, just a reflection on that, and talk to you about the technical aspects of the administrative rules, and then we'll go on from there and welcome all of your questions. So thank you.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. So to kick us off, you last saw us in November 2017 for an update on the affordable commercial framework that we've been working on at Prosper Portland. I'm going to go over a high-level review of that framework and then also review the affordable commercial space bonus program and the administrative rules that will guide this program. We worked really closely with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to put this program together, and one of the main things that we heard from the Planning and Sustainability Commission was they also wanted to have City Council see this program as well. So before I jump into the Affordable Commercial Space Program, I wanted to take a slide to review the Prosper Portland Affordable Commercial Framework. To us, commercial affordability is not just one thing. It's not a reduced rent rate or free space. At Prosper Portland, we're developing a comprehensive framework to address the citywide issue of commercial affordability. The framework is made up of three sets of tools: access to public and private space, business coaching and technical assistance, and financial support. We currently have four projects that we're piloting these different affordable commercial tools. Two are located in Lentz Town Center, Oliver Station and Lentz Commons. One is in Northeast Portland, Alberta Commons, and one is located downtown the 10th and Yamhill Garage, which we're master leasing ground floor space from the Portland Bureau of Transportation. So the affordable commercial bonus kind of sits with these four pilot projects where we're testing different tools to access space, but each of these projects includes all three components of the framework. So we've been working closely with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to define the affordable commercial space bonus. The concept of an affordable commercial bonus came out of an effort to consolidate the available bonuses in the City of Portland 2035 Comprehensive Plan. As I'm sure you recall, there used to be a suite of, 10 different bonuses that a developer could access. And now we've kind of really narrowed it down to the FAR bonuses available through inclusionary housing and the affordable commercial space bonus. The code language for the affordable commercial space bonus was recently edited through the Code Reconciliation Project, which was passed by City Council on May 24th, 2018. Prosper Portland staff worked with the Bureau and Planning and Sustainability on the structure of this bonus and the administrative rules starting about a year ago. We were asked to look at if the affordable commercial code language was written in a way that we agreed with, and decide if this was an affordable commercial tool that we wanted to pursue. We convened a stakeholder advisory committee, which consisted of Planning and Sustainability Commission members, as well as members from local business districts, the broker community, and the developer community. They reviewed different program options for this bonus and made a recommendation, which was presented to the Planning and Sustainability Commission last fall, and we worked with them through the code reconciliation project to vet this program through this past spring. Last week, the Prosper Portland Board of Commissioners approved the administrative rules to guide the Affordable Commercial Bonus Program. So the Affordable Commercial Space Bonus has a set of 5 goals to help provide and stabilize commercial space along mixed-use commercial corridors, to ease the challenge of commercial gentrification and business displacement, to support businesses led by communities of color, women-owned businesses, and other marginalized individuals, to increase the availability of affordable space, and to reduce barrier of entry into new construction commercial space. The Affordable Commercial Space Bonus is available across the City of Portland's mixed-use zones, but it's not available in the Central City, the Gateway Plan District, or in historic or conservation districts.
Can you go into why that is a little bit?
Maybe I can have Barry Manning is here from the Bureau of Planning. He might be.
We can wait till the end too.
What, the best. Just,
sure.
Yeah. But. So overview of the program is that it's voluntary. That's a question I've gotten through phone calls of, you know, is this mandatory the way inclusionary zoning is? And it's no, it's a voluntary program. It's only in commercial mixed-use zones, and it's only for projects with 20 or fewer residential units. If you have more than 20 units, then you're going to have access into all of the inclusionary housing available FAR. So it sits next to the inclusionary housing program, giving all projects an opportunity to provide an affordability component on site. Developers can currently access this FAR, the bonus FAR, through the inclusionary housing voluntary fee. So there's no new FAR being put on the table by this bonus. And the affordable spaces will be leased to local businesses that are women-owned, owned by people of color, or are nonprofits that serve underserved communities and that have passed a financial review by Prosper Portland.
Can you remind me how long is long time? When it says long time businesses?
Oh, it's about 10 years.
10 years, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so in the rules, a developer can choose from an on-site option, a payment into the Affordable Commercial Fund, and there's flexibility to combine those two if it's necessary. The main tool for the main affordability component is a landlord work standard. So this is requires the developer to build out a not a cold shell or warm shell, but a hot shell for the space. And there's also leasing components. So the on-site option, developer would have access to 2 square feet of bonus FAR for every 1 square foot of on-site affordable commercial space that they provide. They're required to provide a hot shell or a high level of tenant improvements. This is a higher level of build-out than when typically provided by a landlord, including walls, electrical, HVAC, ceiling finish, fees, restrooms, flooring, signage. So it's a whole suite that we're asking landlords to provide instead of having that cost be passed on to tenants. The leasing requirements that the tenants must meet this qualifying criteria, it's a 10-year duration. The lease terms will be reviewed by Prosper Portland. During that 10-year period, a landlord is only allowed to re-tenant with businesses that have been approved by Prosper Portland, and then they're required to report annually. Similar to the inclusionary housing program, if at any time during that 10-year period a landlord is found to be non-compliant, they're required to pay the full original payment into the Affordable Commercial Fund.
What's the definition of affordable commercial?
So in this instance, it's the suite of tenant improvements that the...
But what's the definition of affordable?
So the big challenge with designing this program is that it's not similar to housing affordability in that way, where there's an index that we could pick from that sorted through all of the characteristics like you would for housing affordability compliance. There simply is no index. So we really grappled with that with our partners on our tenant advisory committee and our partners and the stakeholders for this. You know, how can we define that if there's not really a national standard or even a local one? That's how we arrived at working really on the initial costs to keep it affordable. We see that many of initial leases are inflated because the costs of assembling the tenant improvements inside the space have to be paid back to the developer in the early parts of a lease. So by holding the line on that and actually providing this hot shell that Ms. Wicks is describing, cut down on the initial capital costs that a startup business would have to present, or a business that has not had access to capital in the past to pay for that or to even borrow for it. So that also is complemented by a form lease that we would review against the financial characteristics of their operating program so that we can help perhaps under-sophisticated businesses understand what the financial consequences of the long-term deal is in their lease. So that's where the technical assistance comes in. So it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. In the case of our pilot programs that we're running in Alberta Commons, Lentz, and so forth, we're negotiating deals at the $18 a square foot with capped expenses right now, and that's at a market rate, but again, providing the hot shell.
Could I make a suggestion?
You may.
Because I don't think that's explicitly clear in this report what you mean by affordable, and it's the first logical question that one would ask. So, and I realize this is just a report that we're voting to accept, but in the report you have some clearly defined next steps. And I believe that that is intended to be encompassed in bullet point number 4 here on your summary: conduct market analysis and outreach to small businesses and business districts to refine framework and approaches. I highly encourage you to come to a consensus in terms of the specific definition, because I feel like we will, A, need to be able to talk about it and sell it, and B, we'll need some sort of a standard so it doesn't look like we're making subjective decisions based on who the developer is. I don't want to get backed against that wall. And so I'd really encourage us to refine that.
Will do.
Yeah, I would go a step further and say that it's going to be hard for me to accept these administrative rules, the report, without knowing, you know, what are we talking about?
Right. I think one of the challenges we have, and you know, I've heard you, it would be great to nail down sort of from a lease rate standpoint how we would define it, which is in fact where we started. You know, the idea in the initial version of this was 25% less than market. We don't have a index that's reliable to tell us what market is, and market rates float from place to place, which is why we struck what we thought was a reasonable middle ground, which is to focus on what the business needs of the tenant are and to make sure that they could pay their rent and we would negotiate the lease that would be characteristic for them and in the market that they're at that would make the space accessible. But I hear you. To define it more closely is what you're looking for, and we'll try to do that.
That kind of leans into what was going to be my later question is how do you pick which businesses get these advantages? So there's obviously going to be far more applicants than there are available spaces. So if you're also looking at what can this particular business afford, that becomes even more mushy.
Right. So we have, as Allison's pointing out, we have the preferences being businesses of color, women-owned businesses, nonprofits that have not had that are culturally specific or have not had access to the market
there's hundreds of those.
What's interesting and I think encouraging about this program is we're going to provide, in addition to sort of already the technical assistance that we provide small businesses, if they're ready to look at space, we're going to review their financial characteristics, give some assurances, not just to tenants in properties that we own or we have some hand in developing, but we feel that by reviewing their characteristics, setting a rent and establishing a boundary for them, and helping to, in effect, certify them as businesses that are creditworthy, there may be even additional interest in them for properties that we don't own. So these would be, in effect, kind of gold plate, gold standard tenants that Prosper Portland and its financial analysts have gone through their records and see that they, in fact, can rent space. And we expect the brokerage community to be quite interested in that, especially if we're supporting them with additional business assistance to make sure that they're stabilized. So that's how we've tackled it. But I hear you that you're looking for a stronger definition of affordability. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what we're presenting here in terms of administrative rules is, you know, this is our pilot year with Planning and Sustainability Commission and our other partners in the Inclusive Business Resource Network that we participate in. We're working towards looking at our pilot phase, learning from it, and coming back with a stronger sense of guidelines and then as we move forward.
So I get what you're saying. You can't really ascribe a number to this or a percentage the way we do on the housing side. So I get that. My suggestion, and it is only that a suggestion, I think we need to strengthen, and you've picked broad criteria that I think are absolutely center of target as far as Prosper's goals around building an equitable economy and making sure that, for me, what's attractive to this is we're protecting mom and pops, particularly those that have been in neighborhoods for a long time, and we're trying to prevent displacement and gentrification of those business opportunities as the neighborhood develops. But I think we need to be very explicit, crystal clear in terms of the criteria, because they are somewhat more I don't want to use the word subjective because they're really not subjective, but they're not as iron or not as concrete, right, maybe, as the work that we do on the housing side. And
agreed.
So the more that we can do to say these are the top five criteria and they are weighted in such a certain way, and the more explicit you can make it so that we can defend the decisions that we make, I think would be incredibly helpful.
About who we tap
because
in
we also have to be able to defend, as Commissioner Fritz correctly raises the question, well, if you've got two businesses, both have applied, you give it to one and not the other, how well can you defend that decision? And the answer better be very well.
Yes.
Right?
Agreed.
And why can't you go with a $18 a square foot definition or whatever it is? I have no idea what the going rate is.
So different rates exist in different places, and we're comfortable with the rate that we've settled on in our pilot projects where we have some concrete rights to the space. We've worked in the case of Alberta Commons with Majestic, who owns the site along with the natural grocers, to understand what the true costs are. But different rates apply in different spaces. So if you have a comprehensive build-out, you know, you could be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and each situation is going to look differently. Some businesses can afford some amounts and others can't. So depending on what their cost of goods sold are and sort of what their overall supply costs are. So we need to sort of look at the whole picture. If our overall goal is both initiating, supporting, and sustaining these businesses for the long term, which I think is really what our overarching goals are here.
I think a big part of the challenge is depending on the industry, you're going to see huge variances in the profit margins, so restaurant versus retail versus service. So while you could probably average retail or commercial rents and then kind of arbitrarily decide this much less equals affordability, it's not going to be equitable across industries and across different neighborhoods. I do think you could look industry by industry and
But then you'd like quarter by quarter, neighborhood by neighborhood. I think it's just the data is tricky. So, but I think, you know, you're sort of looking at the overall profitability index. You know, maybe one way to think about it is, you know, there's often been discussed in housing that, you know, folks should pay about 30% of their overall income into their housing cost. I think similarly, we're looking at the overall profitability of that business. How much space do they really need to be profitable given the kind of business that they're in? Yeah. And then can we kind of help develop a cap that can sustain them over the long term? And it really is an individual business by individual business metric. But I understand having a strong sense, Mayor, of, you know, being, I think you said, crystal clear about the criteria of who gets in the program is manifestly important.
And yeah, I think the goals here are entirely laudable, and they're certainly consistent with my own objectives, and I know they're very consistent with Prosper's strategic plan. And it's a little dicier going out with a commercial bonus program relative to, say, the housing bonus program by virtue of the fact that there are more variables. But I'm just saying, and it sounds like I'm hearing my colleagues agree, the more we can do to really tighten that down, the better. And this is where your community engagement piece is going to be super important. I really want the community to buy in to these criteria and have the clearest understanding possible of what those criteria are. I mean, this should be an easy sell because it's a voluntary program. The goals are good goals, but let's not trip on ourselves by being squishy around the criteria, right?
That's agreed. All I'm saying. Yeah, thanks for the feedback.
I may have missed something. We've mostly focused on new retail developments, but in these materials I see that the program's intended to target both businesses that are launching and existing businesses that are struggling to afford rents. Have you covered that side of it yet?
Yeah, happy to go through it again, but you know, in our targets are both long-term property. So we're kind of looking at who's been most impacted by the price inflation. What are we hearing anecdotally? Because we don't have awesome, you know, research and data, but what we're hearing is these are long-term property owners that have been in commercial districts that are kind of historic corridors that are getting priced out or becoming marginal in
their
markets.
You mean business owners, not property owners, right?
The business owners, yeah. We're talking entirely about tenants here.
And in that case, it is a lot easier to determine what affordable rent would be because you know
that they can afford what. Yeah, for the folks that have been in business a while and they've metabolized what their rent rate is, certainly.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Did we hit all of our...
There's two options a developer can choose from, providing affordable commercial space on site or paying into the Affordable Commercial Fund, which is pegged with the inclusionary housing, the same factor schedule that's used to calculate the fees for inclusionary housing. This is the last slide, so next steps are to continue to coordinate.
Because you just skipped over the end of that slide. and that is the payment supporting this program, the framework. Yeah. And again, it's not clear for that pool of money, how is that going to be used?
So we're proposing that this basically gets rolled back into the affordable commercial program. So our strong preference is for the developers to use the bonus to actually build the space. If they elect to pay in lieu, our intention is to just roll whatever proceeds come into that back into the program to support future TI improvements across the city.
So basically staff time.
No, this in all likelihood would, you know, one of the overall challenges for business support tangibly for Prosper Portland is often our resources have to be used in urban renewal areas. So our proposal for the payment in lieu fund is that that would be prioritized in places where we haven't had money for capital improvements outside of TIF zones.
But again, that would not be for properties owned by the city, it'd be for properties privately owned, right?
It would support the tenant improvements of business owners. So yes, those could be in privately owned buildings.
So again, I'm going to want to see exactly how are you going to dole those out. I mean, Commissioner Daly and I have just been through with you the process of allocating small amounts of cannabis tax grants, both for business development and for community support and expenditures, et cetera. And we know there's a lot of need out there, and some applicants are more sophisticated than others. So I'm concerned about how that fund gets priority, who gets it. And I'm also continue to reflect the Planning Sustainability Commission's feeling that perhaps some of that money should be put into investments in the area that's getting the increased height to provide some mitigation of the increased intensity that wasn't zoned for. For instance, you know, traffic improvements or bike parking or trees or something like that that is mitigation to the neighborhood for having this increased intensity. So is that something that can be looked at, or is that in the code, Mayor, do you remember?
I don't, to be honest.
We have not contemplated beyond rolling it back into the affordable commercial suite of support, but we can certainly take that into consideration of mitigate. What I'm understanding, Commissioner Fritz, is the concept of using some of the funds to mitigate the impacts more generally in the neighborhood.
So, Barry Manning, could you come on up, please, for a second? Because you can remind us what we actually approved in terms of code language.
Barry Manning, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. So in terms of code language, what the council approved back in, I guess it would have been May 24th, as part of code reconciliation, were some amendments to the commercial mixed-use zones chapter in 33-130. And we had proposed, based on our work with Prosper, some changes in code. I don't actually have the strike through underlined with me, but we had made some changes in the affordable commercial space bonus that really aligned the code language with the application of Prosper Portland moving forward in administering the program. As Kira had indicated earlier, an earlier version of this that council had looked at when we adopted the mixed-use zones back in December of 2016 had pegged affordability for this commercial space program to 25% below market. I believe that was approximately where it was. And that number had been generated as part of the early studies of the mixed-use zones project. And what we found in working with Prosper Portland and the working group that they had put together, the stakeholder group, is that that, as was mentioned earlier, was somewhat of an arbitrary figure and really hard to pin down in terms of indexing what affordability is in commercial space. There's so much variability, and that 25% below market was a good aspiration, but really was highly variable. So we changed it to this language that gave Prosper a little bit more flexibility to define the terms of affordability and the program in their administrative rules. So that's what you're looking at today. And the hot shell standards emerged as the preferred way to approach the affordable commercial space.
Okay. That I'm not sure that it's defined as much. This sounds like another concept report rather than actual definitions. And my other question is, what does the code say about the fee in lieu and what that can be used for?
The code doesn't speak to the fee in lieu. Again, that defers to the rule or the administrative
rule.
Okay,
so we can say that, yes, it can be used for improvements in the vicinity of the increased height.
Yeah, the code, I don't believe the code, I need to put my glasses on to make sure, but I don't believe the code is specific about what the fee could be used for. That would be deferring to the administrative rule.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's then the question of, you know, how do you decide what that is? Or, you know, but that's something I'd like you to explore.
Will do. Thank you, Commissioner. All right. So if there are no other questions, and I'm happy to take them at any time after our testimony as well. We meet with your staffs regularly and yourself. But I want to thank our colleagues at Planning and Sustainability, the commissioners, particularly Teresa St. Martin, Andre Bao, help me out here,
Chris Smith and Eli Spivak,
who were part of our advisory council and have been great supporters of this process, as have you.
Yeah, this is cutting edge stuff, and there is. There'll obviously be some improvements with time and some learning with time, and I'm sure we'll be coming back with recommendations and suggestions. So I appreciate your taking this effort.
I'll say one thing that the Planning and Sustainability Commissioners all agreed on, as well as our board, is that they want to hear how it's going and want to be reported back to. So that's something we committed to.
Yeah. Ongoing monitoring.
I just had one question, and that was the decision to not include downtown Gateway or Central Gateway and historic districts.
Oh, that's right.
Can I just hear the rationale?
Yeah. Central City and Gateway both have their own set of bonus structures.
Okay.
And the way our zoning code is set up is that if you have a bonus structure that is in place in a particular plan district, those tend to supersede whatever happens to be in the base zone. This affordable commercial space bonus exists in the base zone. So where you have really explicit bonus structures like the Central City does, that supersedes this. So it's not available in Central City and Gateway because of that factor. It's also not available in historic and conservation districts, and that was a decision that was made when the mixed-use zones project was conceived, because of concerns about the additional height or floor area that might be allowed by bonuses. There may be a couple of other plan districts where we may need to sort out how bonuses apply as well because of some bonus provisions that exist in different plan districts. So there may be some limitations in some plan districts, but this bonus would generally be available in any commercial mixed-use base zone where the bonus is available, CM1, CM2, CM3, CE, outside of those plan districts in most of the corridors and centers throughout the city.
And I don't necessarily think this would be appropriate for this project, but I just want to kind of put a bee in your bonnet about commercial condos, because that's really, I think, probably the best way to protect small businesses from the whims of the market and to help women and minority business owners build wealth is to give them an opportunity to actually own their space.
Yeah, Commissioner Daly's excellent point. You know, a lot of the sustainability of many of these small precious businesses owed to the fact that they own their buildings and are not subject to rent pressure. I think we're really eager to dive in there and look at, you know, we already have a long-term property owner program that's intended to look at where there are opportunities for those that own buildings to have stronger business fundamentals on that side. I think we could easily be talking about incentivizing commercial condoization in the next iteration of this. I think it's something that we're very eager to see, since wealth creation is really at the top of our agenda for equity creation in Prosper Portland generally. So I think it's an excellent idea, and we'll be working with you on how that gets manifested.
Okay. And I'm just curious, at any point in this process, did you look at the I can't remember what the name of the program is in San Francisco, but it's really targeting historic and landmark businesses that are going concerns and contributing members of their communities, but who are at risk of being displaced through rising commercial rents. Did you look at their program? Because they're doing some really innovative stuff down there.
Yeah, I think we've kind of done a bit of a survey. Okay. You know, Mayor Wheeler is right. We're at the sort of cutting edge or leading edge, at very least, of policies and programs aimed at the impacts of gentrification on commercial properties. So I'd be eager to hear any and all examples that you have. I think there's a learning community that's emerging on the West Coast. I was just up in Seattle working with their Ethiopian community group on some of these issues, and they're tackling it. So there's a learning community out there, particularly on the West Coast, that's eager to tackle this. And the market environments are not that different. So I think there's a lot of getting together and sort of pulling towards a collective future is worth doing.
We've had conversations with the Bay Area, Seattle, Gresham, City of Vancouver. I know New York City is working on things. Just got an inquiry from the City of Bend this week. So it's a hot topic out there.
So I think one of the things I'm struggling with, I don't actually have the administrative rules. They weren't filed with the piece. So if you could please get me the administrative rules, that would perhaps bring some clarity. And then, Mayor, I just would encourage you to, we've got an expert on affordable small business space on our council. And, you know, obviously it's something that all of us are concerned about. So I would hope that your staff would be having conversations with ours and with us. As well as Prosper. I mean, I appreciate your monthly briefings for me. This is kind of a crossover between planning and business development and various other things. So more engagement of the whole council would be really appreciated.
Yeah,
I think that's a great idea. And this is a new concept for the city of Portland. Other cities have been experimenting with it, and I would welcome that. So I will turn that over to my Able Prosper Portland team, and let's make sure that we have a broad engagement process.
Thank you, Mayor.
Let's take advantage of the offer that's been put on the table.
And with your staff, please, Mayor.
Very good. and from, just for the record, Prosper Portland is in my portfolio.
Can I make it more specific with your office staff?
Who in my staff would you like specifically to speak with?
I would like to know who is the right person to speak with, because I don't know.
The mayor. Speak with me, and I will engage you on this process. Very good. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to accept the report.
Second. Call the roll.
You Daly.
Well, thank you for the report. It's intriguing. I obviously have lots of questions and ideas, and so I just look forward to further discussions. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you.
It's hard to accept in a report when I haven't got the actual administrative rules and when there are these concerns. However, I know that you're going to continue to work on this project, and I would in particular ask both you and the Mayor's office staff to talk to Commissioner Daly. Aye.
Wheeler.
Thank you.
We will make absolutely certain we speak with all of our fellow commissioners on this subject. It's an important one. As I said earlier, more minds working on this, the better. It's a new policy. Let's get it right. The way we get it right is we include everybody. I vote aye. The report is accepted. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Udaly for your time and attention.
Colleagues, Robert has reminded